have some element of the main character is either checked out, he has some kind of potential that he's not living up to, and he's either encouraged to step up into that, or a situation arises where he has to show up and come through. And we love those stories, and Hollywood keeps making those stories because they make a lot of money on it, because those of us sitting in this room pay money to see them, because we want to see it happen somewhere. And we can see it on the big screen in 3D, and it's and for 2.5 hours, we're wrapped up in that story, and we're living it to some extent through these characters. So today, let's see if my we're gonna have this all down by second service. You should come back. Okay. But we wouldn't be able to fit everybody in here, so. We're going to talk about life to the full. I feel like God has very strongly just told me for this next 3 weeks to put the brakes on as a fellowship. And what we're going to do today is kind of second half of this message. We're going to have worship at the end. Today we have a good half hour of worship, communion. So I'm looking forward to that. But we're going to have some time to really each of you evaluate where you're at with a verse in the Bible, okay? We consume Scripture, we run through it, and, you know, sometimes we overlook what the Scripture is really saying. And as we've came out of this Restore series, June, Randy spent all of June taking us through restoration of our hearts. And we're going to talk more about restoration and kind of how you all experienced that, how you approached that, how you engaged or didn't engage in that, and maybe some reasons why. But as we look forward, we're looking at August, maybe going into some studies on different religions or cults and what they believe and what the difference is. Those will be really interesting. And then fall, going into a deep Bible study on Hebrews and really digging in just chapter by chapter. So I'm looking forward to that stuff. But I feel like the sense that I've had spending a lot of time just listening to God for us as a fellowship, that God's saying, you know, all the head knowledge doesn't really matter if we don't have relationship with God. And we spend so much time filling our heads with knowledge about God. And so as we come out of restoration, life to the full, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture, and we're going to spend the rest of the time kind of unpacking what that means. But in John chapter 10, Jesus goes to story and talks. He talks to us in story, language of the heart, and he draws a picture of himself as the good shepherd. And in that time, in that culture, Israeli culture, the shepherds were not what you might picture, which is a guy behind this herd of sheep with a whip or a cane, and come on, get going, and driving them. But they would go out ahead of the sheep, and they would have their own unique whistle or call, and all those sheep knew that shepherd, and he had names for each one of them. So when Jesus says, I know my sheep by name, he's relating to that culture. They knew what he was talking about. And the shepherd would go out and investigate an area, look into, is this a good place to lead my sheep into? This is good pasture. Is there danger here? Is it clear? And he'd call the sheep down into those areas, and they would follow him. They heard his voice, and they'd follow him. So let's look at this, and then I want to engage you guys in a conversation. Whoa, I'm not going to be able to read it back there. So John 10, 1 through 10. This is Jesus. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. That's what I was talking about. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. This is what I want to talk about. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. Okay, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So, how many of you feel like you are living in life to the full? In every area of your life. Because these are the kinds of verses that are really tempting to just read over and go, that is so sweet and just warms the cockles of my heart to read this verse. But am I going to press in to see it realized? Everything that Jesus did to make that verse possible, and he's offering that to us, are we going to check out? So I want to talk today about life to the full, but before we talk about life to the full, we should talk about what it is. And so what I was curious to know, and I've been asking a lot of people, and I want to ask all of you to share now, what do you see as life to the full? And I'm not looking for heady answers. I'm looking at maybe from what you've experienced with God, what maybe what you hope for and aren't experiencing. What is life to the full? Like Jesus said, he came to give life to the full. Anybody want to add to that? Yeah. Not being bound to anything in the world.
Yeah.
Okay, so being free from the tie to material things. So that your time is freer for living for God. Mm-hmm. Good. Anybody else? Go ahead. Whoops. Next. Uh-huh. Fully present. Okay. Yes. Good. Aware. Spiritually aware in your relationship with God. Good. Seth.
Living life without systems.
Living life without systems. Okay. Describe a system. Okay. So system, something that prevents you from fully desiring God. Or anything. Yeah. Just something that systems that shut down your desires. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Living in accordance with your desires. Okay. So not just kind of having desires on a shelf somewhere, but actually living out your desires. Okay. Yes. Wow, that's good. Yep, living in the present. Not stuck in the past, not just thinking about what's next, but being present with your friends, with God, with reality, with the dangers around you, with the joys. Anybody else? Yeah, go ahead. Being aware of his voice and stepping out in faith. So hearing God and then doing something with it, reacting to it. Steve, was that you? Contentment and knowing that you know that you know what? Truth. Uh-huh. Good. Yes. Okay, so a spirit of gratefulness, recognizing God's gifts in our daily lives. Recognize what he is doing. Good. Yes. Okay, so life to the full, living out who you were meant to be. Living out the purpose that God, for which God created you for. And when you're doing that, you're experiencing life to the full. Great. Bruce. Good. He said experiencing hard things and good things the same with God, realizing both of those are opportunities to go closer to God. Yes, Meredith. Good. Good. Yeah, recognizing the work of Jesus on the cross, that he has set us free. He is our strength. Kirsten. Living in good community, meaning with God, but also with those around us. So community, a part of life to the full? Does everybody agree with that? Really? Yes. I love it because I didn't know how you guys were going to react or how many people were going to share. Usually you can squeeze, Isla will have something to share, or Steve, and we'll get 3 or 4 people to share when we ask a question. But you see here, 10, 15 people sharing. That's been my experience the last couple of weeks. Whenever I'm with somebody, I ask them this question: what is life to the full? And passion explodes out of these people. I went on a date with my wife, and it had been a while, and we're like, oh, okay, this is just a couple weeks ago, and we're like, okay, we're away, we're not going to talk about the kids, and she's like, well, I know you're preparing for a message, I'd love to just hear a little bit about that. And so I knew, okay, the only thing I'm going to talk about that is I'm going to ask her what life to the full is for her. And it turns into this passionate debate, really intense, and I'm like, wow, I didn't realize what I was opening up here. Because I think many of us right now are in trials, right? I know, because I've visited many of you in the hospital lately, and just looking at the physical side, but there's other struggles as well, family issues, and talking about life to the full brings up this passion, because we express what we hope it means, or we express what the word says it means. We express what we want to be experiencing, or what we touch sometimes. And I feel like God wanted us to take some time and evaluate what each of you for yourself, what you believe about this verse, that Jesus said he's come that we may have life to the full. Is that just eternal life? Is that just talking about salvation? My investigation into it is no, it's not just talking about that. It is talking about that, life to the full. But you look at Jesus and all his other teachings and all the other interactions he has, he didn't, if it was just about salvation that he came, why did he heal the blind or the leper? If they're going to die and be saved, then why do they need to see? I mean, he cared about the quality of our lives too. And did he come to remove every trial, though? And I keep running into all these problems and stuff. So what I feel like God gave me is this picture. And so with my master artistic ability on the computer, I drew this picture of this tree. And what I want to talk about a little bit is the three roots that you see at the bottom. Well, I should look at my notes every now and then. And first of all, though, there's another part of this picture that's not in there. Okay, so I started looking up, okay, so what does Jesus say about trials and suffering? Is life to the full, and I kind of already knew the answer because I wasn't born yesterday. Is life to the full absent from trial, and it's just getting everything to align in your life so that trials don't come and there's not hard things. Because my 20s were spent trying to make that kind of life. there's got to be a way that I can arrange things and I can avoid things and I can set things up so that trials don't come. And Jesus talks about it. Paul, Peter, they're telling us, they're, you know, megaphone. Trials will come. The good, the wise builder, remember the builder who built his house on the ground with no foundation, and the other one who laid a foundation? And the thing that stood out to me when I looked over that story was the floods came and hit which house? Yeah, it hit both houses. So Jesus is telling us, and so many other verses, Jesus is talking about these trials. So before we even talk about the roots that support this tree, this life to the full, if that tree represents your life, talk a little bit about the trial. Some of these verses, Matthew 11, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Oh, good. Great. It doesn't sound like necessarily, you know, we were at one point weary and burdened, but his yoke is easy and his burden is light, so maybe there isn't trials. Romans 12, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. John 16, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus speaking. There's this tension of trial and victory. And we're all looking for this life to the full. Maybe. My presumption based on what God's been saying to me is there are people in this room who aren't looking for life to the full. They're resigned. And they know that coming to church on Sunday and reading their Bible and praying is life to the full. And that's between you and God. I'm not going to point any fingers because I don't know who near is that person. But God does, and he orchestrated the next 3 weeks because he wants you to believe and hope again in John 10:10. So there's a couple different postures we can take. Do we have faith to see trials removed? And say, that's it. Jesus came that we may have life to the full. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. If there's a trial, I'm going to remove that trial and get it out of my way, and I'm going to move forward. And if any trial comes against me, no, that's not the life God has for me. He does not have trials for me. There's another thinking that says pray and in faith for strength amidst the trials. Trials will come. I will live under trials. I will find a comfortable place in those trials so that I will be able to live and cope and move forward in those trials. And there's these two. I'm not suggesting one or the other is the right way, but there's this tension when we walk with God. I had it last week. I'm trying to prepare the message on this, and I can't get any time in it because I'm going and helping and visiting and doing the things that I need to do to help support people who are getting hit with these storms. So I want to share some insight from two different people besides myself on this subject. One, Karen Brackebush, is a good friend of mine, and a lot of you know her. She's sitting right there. I've been on mission with her a couple different times. Well, the major one was going to Albania for this women's retreat in May. And just so blessed to have her along for that. And then also recently, we went and prayed over somebody's house to just kind of cleanse their house. This lady was experiencing some heaviness, and we prayed through the home and cleansed the home. But her take on prayer, on faith, has really encouraged me. And basically what I've come to conclude about her is she will contend for that which God says is possible. This is her heart. She will not lower her standard or bar to match what the world or circumstances say, but she will fight for that which God says in his word. She will fight and believe and pray until her experience matches what God says in his word. So we have these verses where Jesus says, you will do greater things than I have done. because I'm going to the Father. Right? Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. And she understands that. She understands that we've also been told by Jesus himself that trials will come. But she hasn't submitted to those trials. In the midst of them, she continues to believe and stand in faith and believe that God can move and break and open up and release from things. And if the trial continues, she can trust God for what he says in his word and continue with him and trust that he knows what he's doing. And then my wife, remember I told you about the date and how we were had that heated discussion. She, a few days later, journaled about that conversation, and she shared this with me, and I asked her if I could read it. Says, Jeff has been asking me some questions. This is fresh stuff. This is like a week or two ago. Jeff has been asking me some questions about life to the full, and today, as I was pondering those thoughts, I had to reconcile them in my mind with the reality of my life, which has been truly challenging at times, and this week even extra difficult. With family and friends in the hospital, my life doesn't always reflect my ideals and my dreams, but in order to pursue the life I desire, I have to be able to face disappointment without giving up. I had a picture pop up in my mind of an obstacle course. I was thinking how life to the full, though times I wish it was, isn't a life without obstacles. It's about having the courage to face the obstacles and the strength to overcome them. It's walking through it with my God and with my brothers and sisters, unable to be taken out until I reach the finish line and to make it through victorious. If there are no challenges, there is no sweet victory, no sense of accomplishment. There is satisfaction in overcoming. But without having an obstacle and overcoming, where would that sense of satisfaction be? It has value to me to rejoice over each struggle that has been conquered, even if that means I made it through the day without getting ruffled. It's hard sometimes, really hard actually, and there are times I have felt like giving up. And yet even more, I want and so pursue to have quick feet as they go in and out of the tires, the speed to run swiftly, the strength to climb the pole that seems so insurmountable, the agility to get over the large log hurdles, the perseverance to make it to the end, to finish the race. Even if I have some scrapes and bruises, I want that satisfaction of overcoming with the mighty love and power of my God. I will hold on to hope. Without it, I know I cannot live life to the full. I thought that was really wise. It's a wise acceptance of what God tells us, that trials will come. And therefore, you can be strengthened by it. So, all that to say, you see hope and faith, and I'm going to throw that on the trunk of the tree. You see hope and faith in these women in their approach to life to the full. And so I want to talk about the roots, but I wanted to talk a little bit about that. I mean, hope, Jesus even goes there in Luke when the 72 came back and said, even the demons listen to us, and this power is so awesome. And he says, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. There's a hope of salvation that we can cling to in times of trial that cannot be taken from us. It can't be stripped from us. I mean, we are in eternal life now, our spirits. That can't be taken away. And then faith, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. It's another one of those verses that's easy to kind of just go glassy-eyed and just read it and go, oh, that's cool. That verse sounds really profound, but do we press in to see it realized? So let's talk about these three roots. At Adventure Church, we've been talking about, you know, since we started, we've been talking about the four streams: walking with God, spiritual warfare, community, and I'm blanking on the fourth one. Help me, somebody. Walking with God, spiritual warfare, healing, and community. Thank you. Stage fright. And this is how we've learned to relate to God, okay? Walking with God is this hearing God's voice, being led by him. As we've developed and grown as a church, because we're all maturing as a church too, not just the age of our church, but all of us as we walk with God together as a fellowship, we're maturing in God. And in the last year or so, he's drawn our attention to this picture in Ezekiel 37 of this valley of dry bones and flesh forms on them. They stand up as an army. The Spirit of God breathes life into them, and then they go out as an army for God. And through that, we've seen, you know, there's the four streams, and then we see this restoration happening in this valley, a filling of the Spirit, and then this deploying, this mission with God. And so, as you can suspect, the three roots. Because after I thought about it, God brought me right back to that, because I think if we really look at these three, if you think of cutting any one of these roots out and experiencing life to the full the way Jesus meant it to be, you can't do it. You can live. A tree can live without all its roots, but it won't be life to the full. It won't be thriving. So let's talk about them. Restore. We just went through the series on restore. My experience with this topic, having been here for 6 years now, I've watched a lot of people presented this material on restoration. Restoration, if you're new this morning or you weren't at the June series, you know, walking with God into how your, who you are, your purpose, like we heard, the purpose you were made for, you're on a different course right now. Okay, through your life, through your experiences, who you are, your identity has been shut down. So to use the picture, you're Mr. Incredible. You know, you see the picture of this big muscly guy sitting in this chair, and there's this little 3-foot man yelling at him, and he's just under submission to that. God wants to come and restore who he made you to be. My experience is people have two reactions generally to that offer to take that journey with God. They either embrace it and take that journey, and I know men who, for the 6 years I've been here, have been on that journey and going deeper with God. Or they look at it like a hornet's nest, and they don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole because either they're afraid or because they don't think they need to. And it's just not something where I need to go. God has come. God's healed me. God died on the cross for my sins. And I'm good. And that's great. The problem is, the experience I have as I meet with men and talk with men is they don't have any friends. They don't have any friends, close friends. I can ask the question, how many close friends do you have that you can really confide in and share the deepest struggles that you're in right now? And the answer is none. Usually with tears. But they're good. God died on the cross for their sins. And he has healed them of everything in the past, and there's no reason to dig up old stuff. You know, so I get those kinds of interactions with people. And maybe I'm slow, and maybe the elders are slow, because that group of men and myself have been walking in the restoration journey. We've been living in that route for years. And we continue to go deeper in our relationship with God. We continue to regain more of our hearts. And I mean, I'm just talking openly. I know the grumblings that happen when Randy says we're going to do another restoration series. Again? No, not again. You know who you are, okay? It's okay. It's okay. But the thing is, the reason we stick with it is because we refuse to submit to what our culture is, which is, my phone is 6 weeks old, I need a new one. It's outdated. What is the next thing we can move on to? What we found is deeper and deeper relationship with God through sticking with restoration. And we feel that God wants that for this fellowship, so we will continue to revisit it. At some point in the not-so-distant future, we will return to restore, or you will hear restoration brought into Hebrews or wherever it is, because we found life in it and we'll continue to go there. And what I'm seeing lately is I've been seeing some people who have been here since the beginning. They've been here for years, and they're starting to decide, you know what, I am stuck in my heart's search for a relationship with God, intimacy with him, life to the full, I think I'm going to have to visit this because I'm stuck. That's okay, because I was stuck until I started it 5 or 6 years ago. So restoration. It's kind of like, I think the reason why, and I think some people would love to just pray and ask God to heal, and he does. Some things in our past, God can come in, and he just zaps it, and we walk with healing, and he can do that, and we can ask for that. My experience has been for myself and others that I've walked with in restoration is God's also after a relationship, and you don't get relationship as deeply and intimately and long-lasting by just zapping it. You just don't. And I think that's why God takes time with us to do things. That's why he takes time. He's not checking, he's not worried about his watch. He's worried about, how can I get my son or daughter back? How can I get relationship back with them? I have a deep relationship with my wife because I've shared much of my story with her, and she's shared with me. And we've listened for each other for words from God, and we remind each other of who we are. Star, that's not who you are. This is who you are. She does that for me all the time. That comes through time. That didn't come through me shaking her hand in the beginning and going, you know, I could handle looking at you for the next 60 years. I'll tell you what. I've got some stuff in my past that kind of hurt me and wounded me, and I'm willing to just bury that. You want to just bury your stuff? And let's move on and let's be close and intimate and enjoy life together. It didn't come that way for me. That wasn't my experience. And that hasn't been my experience with God either. He doesn't function that way. Okay. And I'm not going to go into a big, I don't have time for one, but I'm not going to go into a big discussion on what how to get restoration. We are going to revisit this in a few minutes as far as where you're at with it. But you know, Jesus came for restoration. You know, he read out of Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That was what he chose to read when he said, this is why I've come. Okay? So route number two is in here somewhere. Okay, fill. So when we say fill, what we're talking about is that picture of the valley of dry bones, the breath of God coming in, filling us with the Holy Spirit. Okay? If you walk in restoration, and I'm not suggesting at all that this diagram is complete and, you know, I've studied Scripture for 60 years and I've come up with this tree diagram that's going to cover every aspect of relating to God and experiencing life to the full. I will say that this is what God gave me, because we need to think on simple terms and not be overwhelmed. How can we start to move more into life to the full? I'm not experiencing life to the full as Jesus offered fully. I know there's more. So fill would be the Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm just going to read some short verses that I just picked out of. If you go, you know, go to your Bible study software and just do Holy Spirit or Spirit capital, you'll get probably 100 or more verses on the Holy Spirit and how he is a daily part of our lives. Okay? So I just grabbed a few. John 14, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Counselor. How is he counseling you daily in your life? If he's not, you're not experiencing the life to the full with the Holy Spirit. John 16, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. He'll guide us into all truth, and he will tell you what is yet to come. What has the Holy Spirit been telling you about what's yet to come? Is your journal full of pages of that? Is your journal full of truth that the Holy Spirit's been revealing to you? Well, if it's not, I'm suggesting that there's something you're missing out on that God's offering. Romans 15. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Does that describe your life right now? Overflowing with hope. 2 Corinthians, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I want to know more about what that means. Fellowship of the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. How is the Holy Spirit helping you, guarding you, guarding your heart? In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Have you been eagerly desiring the gift of prophecy lately? How much time have you spent on that this week? What are your spiritual gifts? Can you name some? Is there ground that we can gain here in experiencing life to the full? The spiritual gifts are for edifying the church. So what have you brought this morning in the power of the Holy Spirit to edify those around you? Can you imagine if we were all walking in the power of the Holy Spirit and the spiritual gifts are active in us, encouraging one another, building each other up, praying for one another? This is the interaction that we are called to have and that is offered to us through the Holy Spirit, through this root of fill. So how big is that root in your life? You know, this morning I was wishing I made another one that showed these little strangly little roots that could describe sometimes how I'm operating in some of these. I think restore for me, in the past 5 or 6 years, I'm learning more and more about how to stay in that. It doesn't mean every time I get together with the guys, we say, okay, share with me some wounds that you received from your father. Okay, that's like a starting point, and we go into that, and sometimes there is a new one, and I'll come and say, hey, I just realized this thing that I've always struggled with or why I live this certain way. But walking in restoration is even being self-aware. You know, that guy said something to me at the store, and I like totally lost it. Internally even. What's going on there? Hey, guys. What's going on with this? What do you think's going on here? This is what happened, and they ask questions. Let's listen to God on this and ask him to come in. Well, gosh, I feel like God's showing me this. Are you kidding me? When I was 20, I had this experience and da-da-da-da, and God takes you into that restoration. I feel like I'm living that. I don't feel like I've got it all down. And like I said, it's not a end of destination. I'm done with that. It's continual. So I feel like that route, I'm just analyzing myself. You all get to do this for yourself here in a minute. Phil, that route is pretty weak for me right now. I feel like I interact with the Holy Spirit on the level of he shows me things. He shows me pictures. He gives me insight into my life. He gives me insight into others when I pray for them. And that's one area that I've enjoyed experiencing the Spirit and him using me to build others up. But there's more. You know, what's this eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy? There's a lot more, I think, that God has for us as a fellowship as well in experiencing the gifts of the Spirit and this root growing. So I want to give time for you guys to just spend a little time and think about, you know, how do I approach life in these areas as I'm looking for life to the full in my life? Next week, we're going to talk about deploy, which is basically being on mission with God. You can be filled with the Spirit, and you can be restored, and you can be like a fighter jet revving its engine in the hangar, not going anywhere with God, and that's not going to be life to the full. You won't experience that. After a while, your tree will have so much fruit hanging on it and no trunk to support it, and it'll just start to fall over because you spent so much time inward on yourself and you're not on mission with God. So we're going to talk about that. And then week 3, we'll spend 3 weeks on this. Hopefully at the end, we'll all have an idea of personally where we can move with God into more life to the full. Community is the soil where these roots are embedded. It's where all of those happen. Fill, restore, deploy. They all play out in community. God designed it this way. He designed a tree to need to be planted in soil. The soil's dirty. Sometimes, you know, I thought about putting the community up here in the clouds because sometimes that's how we've experienced it. But community is necessary. That I would suggest you don't miss that Sunday, because I haven't even prepared that message yet, but every time I think about it, I see this big smile on God's face. I think we're going to do some fun stuff in the service to build community. So don't miss that in 2 weeks. But what I want to do now is just take a couple of minutes for each of these, because we don't have a lot of time. We want to get into worship. This question, just look at this question. If you have a pen, I don't know, is there pens back there? If we can, you're just going to want to write this down. You're probably, you know, it's not going to take a lot. We're just going to spend a little bit of time on this. How does your heart react to this statement? I believe that the restoration of my heart is critical to experiencing life to the full with God. This is a question of, do I say yes to this or no? This is not a test to see whether you're right or not. This is an evaluation of your own heart and how you experience this. Do you believe that the restoration of your heart, the understanding who you are, letting God come in, speak identity into you, and then commission you into the life that he designed when he thought of you, and that process, do you believe that that is critical to life to the full? Okay? And then rate your current desire level. How much do you desire that journey? How much do you desire to enter into that? We just did a whole study on it, so it should be pretty fresh in your mind where your desire level is. 10 would be, I want this deeply. This is evident as I am actively pursuing God to do this work in me, this restoration process. 1 being, I have no interest in looking at the condition of my heart and where it has been hurt, or letting Jesus into those places to heal and restore who I was made to be. So you're just going to give yourself a number. Prayerfully consider this and rate yourself, and maybe jot a few notes about where your desire level is in this. So just take a few minutes with that. There should be music coming on right now. Is that not working? Yes. Okay, you got your number. If your number was up there, was a higher number, and you're like, okay, great, the desire's there, but where do I go with it? Come and talk to me. Or fill out a connection card and just say, I would like to take this journey with somebody and walk with somebody. God chooses to do it in the context of community. He's about relationships with him. He's about relationships with others. Walking with another person into that restoration journey is available. We've been pounding that drum for years here. You may be somebody who's been listening to that drum for years and continuing to not engage in it, but you're getting to a place now where you really want to know more about it and experience more life in that. Fill out a card. Come talk to me, and we will get you set up to take that journey. Phil, I believe that the Holy Spirit must play a vital daily role in my life if I am to experience life to the full. Dangerous statement. I totally forget this sometimes. I believe it's true. Based on Scripture, based on my experience walking with God, it is true that if I'm going to live life to the full, in trials, in hard times, in good times, that he's going to play a daily role. I mean, I go on vacation, and if I forget about God and kind of put him on a shelf for the week and go to the beach and whatever, I come away empty, totally empty. When we listen to the Spirit during vacation, and what do we do next, God? Wow, look at this place. What do you want to say about this, God? Oh, I just respond in worship here. The Spirit of God in me, the vacation fills me up, and I come back refreshed. So whatever you're doing, trial or good times. Okay, 10, rate yourself on this one. This is the last question. Rate your desire level for more of the Holy Spirit in your life. I want this with a passion. This is evident as I am actively and daily seeking God for more of the Spirit's work in me and regularly looking for opportunities and giving over control to him in my life. 1, I have no desire to experience a greater level of the Spirit working in and through my life. So just honestly, where are you at? Where's your desire level with that? You guys get no music for these. I know you're used to that, but... Oh! They were waiting for me to say that. So just think about it. Give yourself a number based on where you're at. Ask God what your number is and how you've been living. We had more time, but worship team, if you guys want to start coming up and getting set up, I'll keep talking while you're doing that. My life when I was 13, I was at school. I was at Valley View Junior High right over here in Clearview, and I was waiting for one of my friends to show up for our 0 hour class, before first period. He didn't show up, and I found out later that day he was hit by a car and killed. And at 13, I had my first experience with life is painful, life is unsure, it's an unsafe world. When I was 19, I gave my heart to a woman, and risked romance, risked love, and about a year later she walked out and was ready for the next thing. And my heart was hurt, and I realized my heart is vulnerable. And if I put it out there, it's going to get hurt. God brought me through my journey more. In early 20s, somebody recognized some things in me and said, you know what? God's put some gifts in you. You should use those for him. And I discovered deploy. I discovered being on mission with God, and I made that my route. And I would find life to the full with God by doing things for him and mission. And I would just, you ever gone hiking and you go up these foothills and you always think you're going to get to the top and see this vast expanse on the other side, and you get to the top and there's another hill? That was my experience with that. Actually, hiking in Albania when I was a missionary, I had that experience. But spiritually speaking, it was, I am going to do the next thing that's going to give me life to the full. And then God brought me into restoration and that root started to grow. And in restoration, I put that in the middle. It's like a taproot. It allowed me to even believe the Spirit and what he was speaking to me. And I see these roots growing more and more. I think there's more life available for all of us, life to the full. So as you worship this morning, if you guys want to come up, ushers are going to come up. We're going to just start off and go ahead and pass the baskets for offering as worship, and then start into worship. Think about where your heart's posture is right now. Are you hands out? No. I'm content with where I'm at. Are you arms folded? I don't really care about any of this. I'm just looking forward to going to the beach this afternoon. Are you on your knees, hands out to God? I want this life to the full. I want relationship. So just think about that as you worship him this morning. I'll just pray and get us started off. Is that okay? Lord, I just thank you for this life to the full, this offer that you make, and God, for the permission to just slow down and spend a lot of time on one verse. You have come that we may have life and have it to the full. It's okay to just slow down and spend time with you on that verse and what it really means. You want so much for us to experience what you offer. So I pray you'd open our eyes even in worship this morning, God. You are worthy of our worship and praise. And just invite you into that. Pray you'd bless these offerings as well, Lord. Continue the work of your kingdom, restoration, filling, deploying, all that you're up to through this fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.
How y'all doing? Well, we're excited to be back up here. It's been a while. Actually, my heart's kind of pitter-pattering a little bit. Ken and I went on vacation here. He doesn't know I'm going to tell this story, but talking about the Holy Spirit and vacation and all. You know, we were fishing, and all we were catching was bass. And we were trout fishing is what we wanted. And it was kind of rough. You know, we got into thunderstorms and lightning and all that stuff. It was fun. But we were running out of time, and we were getting ready to where we have to come home. And I was, well, let's go back over to that bass hole and we'll catch something. Don't turn me off, man. Anyway, we went over there, and I cast it out. I'm gonna catch that big bass in there. Well, wham! All of a sudden, I fish on, and I'm bringing it in. And Ken, he's all excited. He's getting the net. And next thing you know, it's just great big rainbow. And I went, hey, thank you. It was pretty cool. Anyway, I just had to tell that. It was... So, let's do it.